The celebration of the Mass is broken into two parts, the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And we are now in the liturgy of the Word. It begins with the very opening prayer and goes all the way through the intercessory prayers before the gifts are brought forward, which begins the liturgy of the Eucharist. And we have just heard from Scripture. Our first reading was from chapter 8 of the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. The second scripture was the psalm that we sung, Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And the word psalm means song, which is why we normally sing it. The next reading, normally called the second reading, was from St. Paul's letter, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. And the gospel which I just proclaimed was from the fourth chapter of Matthew. It's a lot of scripture packed into a short time. It's an important part of our gathering that we get to hear God's word speak to us from the prophets of old to the words of Jesus in the gospel. The first reading and the gospel are supposed to connect to one another, as they do quite dramatically. Today we hear Isaiah speak of the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and the people in darkness have seen a great light. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, today we hear Jesus has entered that region, and he now is the light that has come, and we actually hear the prophet Isaiah quoted in the Gospel of Matthew. So the first reading from the Old Testament and the Gospel passage are intended to connect. The psalm as well is intended to connect to these readings, and that's why we sang, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Christ, we hear, is that light to a people who have walked in darkness. A light has shone, and Christ is that light. The second reading from Paul in the Easter season is from the Acts of the Apostles, but the rest of the year, they're from the letters of St. Paul in the New Testament. And those are not intentionally connected to the first two readings. Those are read in a linear fashion, and so we'll be hearing from this first letter of Paul to the Corinthians for the next few weeks, with the exception of next weekend, which is a special feast. I didn't pick these readings. The church did, wonderfully so. I don't get to say, "Oh, what do we want to preach about this weekend?" The church has established a 3-year cycle of readings so that we as the gathered church can hear from all the gospels, so we can hear from Paul's letters, and so we can hear from the major books of the Old Testament, the prophets and the historical books, and the original writings of the Torah. Why? Why do we do this? We come here and gather for the first part of this Mass because God has spoken to a people from age to age, and we have the privilege to come and sit right here and now and to allow these same words to be spoken to us. These are not just words in a historical fashion, just put in a book to be read once in a while. It's intended to be words that are alive and must be alive in the life of the community. In today's second reading, Paul speaks to the church in Corinth and says, "You're all divided. I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Cephas." Paul says we all belong to Christ. Is that not a message for we to hear today? In a world that's so divided, in a church that experienced divisions, the word of Paul is alive not only then, but now. And certainly the gospel today, the call of Peter and Andrew and James and John. They're fishermen. Jesus arrives on the scene. He's not a fisherman. And yet he comes up to Peter and Andrew and says, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men and women." What is that about? They drop their nets and follow. And James and John do the same. And what's amazing is that the invitation is crisp and clear: come after me, follow me. And he says, "I'll make you fishers of people. I will take who you already are. I'm not going to call you to be something else. But I'm going to use the very gifts that you possess for the service of the kingdom. Are you open to allowing that to take place?" Jesus says, "I will make you." It's not you making it. It's Jesus making you part of his plan, part of his kingdom. part of the unfolding of the kingdom of God. First comes the invitation, come after me. Second comes the promise that I will take who you are and form you into what you can be in service to God's kingdom. And the third part is the hardest part, of course. That's our part. What are we going to do? What's our answer? Should we follow the Lord? Should we allow the Lord to form us? And Peter and Andrew respond immediately. There's an urgency. It's not, can I think about it over the weekend? It's not, can I get back to you later? It's an invitation by Christ to be drawn into his life and into his plan, not only for the kingdom of God, but for each and every one of us individually. To say, I need you, I call you, and I can continue to form you if you allow that. And that's what God's word does to us when we gather here, if we let it. We're going to hear all sorts of words from beyond these doors into the week, at work, in a school, and wherever we are. But here and now, God speaks to us and calls us to a response. And it can be a daunting response indeed. And that's why we come to the second part of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Not only are we given the privilege of hearing God's word, but Jesus says, I know it's hard to allow that word to come to life. But if you come now and take the gift of my body and blood, I will give you the grace, I will give you the nourishment, I will give you the courage to make the decision and follow after me. St. Jerome says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And that is why we must come to know these Scriptures, because they are alive here and now, and they must become alive in our own lives. And when we hear that word, our response must be an urgent one. No time wasted in following this Lord. So the liturgy of the word and then the gift of our Lord's body and blood come together to form us in this celebration which brings us here and now. Let us not be ignorant of Scripture, so that we might know well the Lord who gathers us, speaks to us, nourishes us, and calls us to follow.